All right, this is ESH, Electric Sisterhood, the Girl Gaming and Anime Podcast. I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this is episode 16, Bits and Baubles.
Baubles.
I know, don't you just love that
Sounds
word?
Sounds like wobbles. It makes me think of those things.
Weebles that wobble, but they don't
but
fall
they don't
down? Yeah. I love Weebles. Weebles are the best. You know, they still make them. And I specifically have to like stay out of Toys R Us because I would so buy some Weebles, just have them like out laying around. People come over and be like,
I want Weebles.
You know, just like, oh, those are my Weebles. Don't be touching my Weebles. Don't be grabbing my Weebles. They wobble.
It's like you know you want these Weebles, but they don't fall down.
Yep, they wobble to wobbly and they wiggle to anyway.
So, anyway, that's a different podcast.
That's another podcast. But we do have regular business that we have to attend to, and
well, let's get down to the business.
We have to do the business part first because the business part makes the rest of it possible.
Yeah.
And you know, we got to make sure that it stays on the possible tip.
Yeah.
So, you got to keep hitting us up on the website www.electricsisterhood.com, home of the best,
the fucking best.
I'm sorry, the fucking best girl gaming an anime podcast ever.
Yay, yay.
Oh, yeah, and the website doesn't suck at all.
No.
It's kind of cool.
Does no el sucko.
El es no sucky. Yeah, that's good. My four years of Spanish.
Yeah, I took 4 years Spanish.
Yeah, that was good.
I can still say where's the bathroom and how much does that cost.
I can say, ¿dónde está el biblioteca? ¿Dónde está la biblioteca?
Anyway, that's another podcast.
That's
too.
Another podcast too. Clase repite. ¿Cómo se llama la hooker? ¿Qué?
Okay.
All right,
Ninja.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I had coffee today.
Oh, that's bad.
I had a lot of coffee today. But anyway, keep hitting us up on the website. You can contact us using our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-333-8985. It's a free call for you.
It's free love for us.
And we love the free love.
I just love love.
Yeah, I know. But I love not having to pay for it because I'm brokity. And, you know, coming up out of pocket for anything right now is a little hard.
But I got paid today.
Yeah.
And I bought my books for school, so I'm broke again.
Yay, broke! Join a club. Welcome aboard.
Yeah.
Here's your t-shirt.
Do I get a matching jacket?
No,
we meet
we're
on
broke.
Thursday?
We don't have jackets.
Oh.
If we had money, we'd have,
we'd
jackets,
have jackets.
But we wouldn't have a club.
Oh.
The irony.
Okay.
The irony.
Okay.
But you can call us on that toll-free number and leave us a message and say, you know, what you like or what you don't like or if you have an idea or you want to suggest.
Or you could give us money so we can buy jackets.
Yeah, but not on the toll-free number. I think I'm going to actually put together a donation thing here pretty soon for PayPal so that people can help with the bandwidth bill because y'all be downloading shit, which
yeah,
is good.
Guys.
We love that. But, you know, I got to get something coming in to help what's going out. Keep going out on the regular. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway. But that's a little bit more down the road. Right now, I can still manage. But y'all be downloading shit, which is good. We like that.
Which is very good.
It's
We're
very
glad
good.
That you actually listen
yeah.
to us.
And that you like it and all that shit. So, that's good.
Yeah.
But you can also contact us via the Hit Us Up link on the website. And you can use the form, fill it out. All the fields are required, so you have to use a valid email address and a name. But if you don't want to use your actual name, you can just put in anonymous or, you know, ESH fan, whatever. But the fields are all required, so if you don't put something in all the fields, it ain't going to send. We ain't going to get it. And you won't be
entered. We'll miss out on candy or a t-shirt.
That's right, because if you fill out the form.
Don't be punk-ass bitches.
Yeah, you heard Pandalicious. Don't be punk-ass bitches. Fill out the form. Fill it out properly. Click the little button that says enter me in the sweepstakes. And guess what?
You'll be entered in the sweepstakes and you're done.
Yeah.
That's it.
And you get entered for the sweepstakes for the week. That's
it's not
great.
Rocket science,
no,
people.
And it's not difficult either. But also by commenting.
Do it. I could do it, but it wouldn't really matter. Cause
yeah, because you can't win candy because you're an employee.
I'm supposed to get some.
Yeah, well, you know, I got to order some more because, you know, these bitches keep winning candy.
Well, that's not their fault. That
well, I know it's not their fault, but, you know, I can't just be giving you candy because I got to give the candy to the winners.
Well, I'm a winner.
Yeah, but, you know, look, we're getting off topic. If you go and use the form, you can be entered into our sweepstakes. And we give away candy each week, and they're custom M&M's, people. You can't find them in stores. Every week. And once a month, I decide to not give somebody candy, but a free t-shirt. A free t-shirt that you can't buy in our store. Which went live today.
Yay! We went live!
Yes, buy our shit. Really.
Yeah.
Really. Buy it.
Yeah, guys. Like, yeah. Totally. See? Buy our shit.
Yeah, totally. Go to the store.
It's not shit, though. It's high quality.
Oh, no. It's the shit. See, yeah. This shit is the shit.
Yeah.
Because it's ESH.
So, buy the shit.
Yeah, buy the shit.
Yeah.
Because it's hot.
Yeah.
So we're very happy about that. So if you go to www.electricsisterhood.com/freshware, that's FreshWare, or just go to the website and click on the Freshware link. You can't miss it, people. It's in the navigation. You'll be taken.
It's big, it's colorful, and there's no way.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
No way you can miss it.
Yeah.
You can't miss it.
But you click on the link, you'll be taken to our Cafe Press store where you can buy all the gear you need to show just how much you love ESH.
You could buy some shirts, some hoodies, some buttons, bumper stickers, because I know a good chunk of y'all's got cars.
Yeah, you can just slap that sucker right on there.
And then people be like, oh my god, what's that? And then you tell them, and then they live happier lives because of your bumper sticker.
Exactly, because then they'll be introduced to the ESH goodness. Spread the love, people. It's good karma.
Spread it like peanut butter. That's why I said it.
So anyway.
But, yeah.
Keep hitting up the website. Look out for the new stuff because we got more things coming, people. We got more things coming. Which also leads me to my next announcement. We have a new member of the ESH crew.
Yes, we do.
Yep, I don't know if you guys have been to the website lately, but you might be wondering.
I have.
Well, it's about time.
I'm working on it.
Yes, I know. We don't want to talk about the wild problem, but, you know.
I didn't say why I was having a problem.
Yeah.
I just said was working on the problem.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. What level are you now? No, don't answer that. I'm getting off topic.
48.
See, I knew it. I knew it. You ain't been weaning off shit. All right, anyway, getting back to our new member. Monkey Doo, welcome to the ESH crew. That's right. Welcome aboard. Monkey Doo has been a great friend to us since before we were ESH, like officially. So
yeah.
It's really nice to actually have him on board. That's right. Him.
Yeah, he's a boy.
He's a boy.
He's got a penis.
Yes. And it's not, and I don't want people to think that, you know, we're Electric Sisterhood and we were supposed to be all girls things, because we're not an all girl thing. We're just a, you know, majority female rule.
Yes, estrogen will rule this battle.
Oh, yes. The double X rules the ESH crew.
Woohoo!
Because we're not anti-guy. We're just pro-girl.
We're pro-guy, but
we're more pro-girl. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Nothing more.
Nothing against you. What you saying?
I like penis.
Yeah, I like
anyway.
Penis. That's another podcast.
Nah. Okay.
So,
sorry.
Again, welcome to Monkey Doo. You guys will be seeing more stuff on the website from him. And hopefully, we can get him on a couple of podcasts as well. And then the last little bit of business, because, you know, I got to make sure that I get it in. I got to announce this week's Candy Bitch.
Do we have a new one?
We do. We have a new candy bitch.
Who is it?
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm totally ready.
Kunai 20, you got candy, bitch.
You're getting candy before I'm getting candy.
Yeah. And she works here.
I know. I'm saying
congratulations.
I work for candy. Haven't got paid yet. No. Taxes.
I'll tell you, I'll hook you up with some candy. I swear, I'm supposed to be putting in a new order for more candy today. Make sure that I get an extra bag.
Yeah, you better.
I will hook you up.
Okay. So now we got two candy bitches, because yes. I'm going to get candy too.
Yes.
Yay!
Double candy bitch day! Yay!
We should do that every once in a while. That'd be kind of funny.
What, double candy bitch day?
Yeah.
Well, you know...
We'll see.
You know, if we get the traffic to where I want it, we get some bitches buying stuff, we might just do a double, triple, you know, quadruple candy bitch day. It could happen.
That would be awesome.
You know, we could do a day where, you know, we pick four people to win t-shirts. I mean,
quadruple candy bitch day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's all up to me and what my mood is. Make me happy and you'll get what you need.
Ooh.
Oh, I'm sorry. That kind of came out wrong. Well, no.
No, it didn't.
No, it didn't. But anyway, congratulations to Kanai 20, who's actually winning candy because Kanai actually made some submissions for our upcoming AMV section. So, people, it's time. If you got an AMV that you made, and if you don't know what AMV is, then you don't need to worry about it. But if you know what that means, you know...
In the glossary, so that everyone at least knows the term.
Oh, it should be in the glossary already.
Oh.
Yeah. You should probably check the glossary out sometimes, too, when you're on the website.
Well, because I just submit stuff, so yeah. I don't know what else has been submitted outside of what
see,
I commit.
That's why you should, like, go to the website, so you can see.
Okay.
It helps. It really does.
Yeah. It would help the job. Anyway.
So, start sending us your submissions for the AMV gallery. The code's almost ready, so it will be launching soon. And all you gotta do is send us a link to someplace that we can download your AMV. And you have to have made it. You can't submit somebody else's work. But submit the AMV, you get a month's worth of entries into the sweepstakes, and you could win candy, just like Kunai 20. Anyway.
That would be plagiarism, and plagiarism is a punk-ass move.
Yes.
You a punk-ass bitch.
Yeah.
If you plagiarizing.
You heard Panda. I ain't got to say nothing. Except.
Nope.
That's the end of the business.
Awesome.
It's all yours.
Oh, joy. Well then, guys. Well, outside of the problem that I've been facing as of late, I have been looking at my anime collection to decide what I'd be talking about today. And, you know, since I had made a post a couple weeks ago about School Detectives Clamp, I thought that I would stick with a Clamp kind of vibe, because I've come to notice that a lot of my shit comes from Clamp, manga and anime alike. So, here's one of my personal favorites, which will eventually hit one of my top five whatevers. I haven't decided what the title of that will be at this moment in time, but Chobits! You know, everyone was making such a big roar about Chobits when it first came out. You know, it caught me off guard. You know, because someone was telling me, oh yeah, they're robot girls and boys want to do them. And at first I was like, it sounded like Steel Angel Kurumi. And I was like, I don't need another robot chick movie with people wanting to do them. So I was like, whatever. But like, I saw one and it was for cheap. So, you know, I pick it up at Best Buy. And it was the first episode and I came home at like 11 that night. My mom's in bed, you know, and she's all like, what the hell are you doing? And I'm like, I'm going to watch an episode and then I'm going to bed. You know, and I fell in love. The characters are just that lovable. I mean, you meet this one guy, the main character. His name's Hideki Motosuwa. You know, and he's your average guy. You know, he's not overly pretty boy attractive. You know, he's not like super rich and powerful. I mean, he lives on a farm, or you first see him in a farm, you know, and he's standing next to this cow, you know, and he's waiting for his acceptance into college.
Okay, you know, on the farm next to a cow, waiting to be accepted. I'm with you.
Yes, so you know he's honest and he's pure,
down to earth.
Yes, exactly. So you know, and he's got all these dreams. He's like, yeah, he's like, I'm gonna go to college and I'm gonna make something of myself. You know, and this is gonna be the bomb. So here comes the mailman. Here comes the mail, and he opens up the letter, and he gets rejected.
Ouch.
You know, and he makes this big giant spiel. It's a, you know, monologue city. You know, like he's like, oh my god, I didn't get accepted. What does this mean? This means I don't get to go to college. This means I don't get to go to Tokyo. I don't, you know, and like, and the voice actor in dubbed is the love of my life, Crispin Freeman.
Oh,
it's
been
yeah,
a while since we've heard about Crispin. It's mostly just been wow.
Drool. Hey. Anyway, but yes, he plays the main character in this series. So, you know, I was like, oh no, Kristen doesn't get to go to college. What's gonna happen now? But you know, he goes, you know what? I'm still gonna go to Tokyo. He's like, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna go to prep school and I'm gonna try to get into college again. So that's where the story takes place. You know, he goes, they never tell you exactly where in Japan he is when he moves to Tokyo. No, but you know, he comes from like the country land, so I'm assuming maybe Hokkaido's a little too cold. Well, regardless, he comes from, you know, a really rural area in Japan over into Tokyo. So, you know, he's looking around from the train station and everything's just going, you know, he's like, wow, all this new technology. I've never seen any of this and blah, 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 blah. But everyone in Tokyo is talking about these things called persicoms, and they look like women. I believe there are some men kind, but you very rarely see it. Like, these persicoms
Uh-oh,
have
they
solely
love
been,
bots.
well,
They love bots. Every
no.
time you make
Yes
that
and no.
noise, it means that I'm on to something.
It's yes and no because it depends on what the person who buys it uses it for. But mind you, Hideki's a prep school student. He's got to get a job. He doesn't got money, so he can't afford a Persicom. You know, but they look like really pretty girls. You can get them younger looking, older looking. So, you know, he's drooling over these, you know, this techno. It's like kids who look at iPods at the Mac store and like just drool.
Yes, but don't want to
They're,
stick their penis in them.
well, they're not big enough. But anyway,
Another podcast.
anyway, yes, another
Please
podcast.
continue.
So, you know, so he's going off on that, like, oh, well, that's just a nice thought. Maybe if I ever save up enough money, that will work. So, you know, he finds where his apartment is. He meets his landlord, who's this really hot, like, babe. You know, she's like, yeah, she's young, but, you know, not old, like an old hag, but she's like around his age or whatever. So he's kind of doing the whole, you know, man perverted, you know, thought thing.
Yes, of course.
And he lets that go, you know, and he meets another guy who's living in the apartment. And he has a little persicom, you know, like when they first meet, like he helps him move all of his stuff. And you know, he's like, oh my God, you're around the same age as me. Oh wow, we're going to prep school together. You know, and he's like, yeah, he's like, and my persicom does all my work for me. You know, and the guy's like, you know, and Hideki's like, persicom, where? You know, like looking all over. You know, and he pulls this little thing out of his pocket. And that's his persicom because they don't just come in life size, like they can be tiny also. He has this little persicom, and her name's Sumomo, and she is just the most hyper, infectious, kind of annoying, actually,
Yeah,
persicom.
hyper usually does end up being annoying at some point.
So, you know, and Hideki is just like, wow. It's like, I wish I could. I don't care if it was small. I don't care if it was. I just wish I could get one. You know, and he's like, well, who, you know, if you don't have money, then you're really shit out of luck, dude, you know. So Hideki's like, yeah, whatever. I'm here. I'm gonna get my education. That totally works. So, you know, Hideki, you know, is out getting food one night and he's thinking about persicoms again.
Yes.
You know, and he's like, man, wouldn't it be awesome if I could just find one laying around that no one wanted? And as he's walking by, there is a persicom laying in trash outside of this apartment area. So, you know, he's like, he flips out at first because the only way you could tell that persicoms weren't persicoms or persicoms are because they have these ears. Like they're really big ears. Like they're mechanical ears. They're not like people ears. They look like cones or like balls like on the sides of the head. So obviously they're different. So, you know, so he sees this one laying there and at first he doesn't realize it because he's not paying attention to the ears. You know, and he's like, "Oh my God, there's a dead body here." You know, it's my first night in Tokyo and I'm already witness to like a murder scene and like he's totally eccentric this guy. You know, but then he realizes it's a persicom. So he's like, oh, he's like, well, it's in the trash, so the guy didn't want it, and I'll take it. So he takes it and he like lugs it back to his apartment. Now, sadly, when persicoms aren't turned on, they're very heavy because you know they
They're,
are
yeah,
machinery.
they're robots.
Yeah. So you know, and he lifts her up and he brings her home, and you see this little disc fall out of her. You know, so you kind of think, disc, maybe it's kind of important. But you know, they don't make too much reference of it in the anime or the manga, because I do have both. But you know, so he gets this persicom home, you know, and he's excited because now he's like, oh my God, he's like, now I have to figure out how to turn it on. He's like, and he asks his neighbor, he's like, well, there should be a button inside the ear, but there wasn't one inside the ear. So, you know, the neighbor's just kind of like, maybe it's a custom one, which means the button's somewhere else. You know, so Hideki's like, what do you mean somewhere else? You know, and he's like, well, I don't know. So, you know, Hideki spends most of the evening trying to, oh, I don't know, find the button. You know, so
he's playing find the button.
He's playing find the button.
That's a fun game.
It's like, and I touched her toes, and I touched her fingers, I touched her belly button, and I touched her ears, and I touched her, you know, there. And then, you know, like, it shows this giant crotch shot, and he's like, no, not there. Not there, no. You know, and then, you know, because it looks like a human. So, you know, I can understand where the tension would possibly be where, you know, he's pretty much got to finger her to turn her on, or at least he thinks.
You know, that's the way it always works, is you got to finger to turn, what? I'm sorry. I was on another podcast. My bad.
But anyway, you know, he's debating whether or not he wants to do it because he's like, well, if the button's not there, you know, then it's just going to look like he's a pervert, which is an ongoing thing within this series, you know.
No.
Yeah. So, but he sucks it up, you know, and he goes and he slips his fingers in there, and don't you know that's where the button is.
Wow.
So she
get activated too.
So she turns on. And, you know, it's this big, you know, light glowing. Her eyes get all big, you know, and he's all like, oh my God. He's like, I have my own personal computer. Like, I can hook her up to the internet and she can download me porno sites. And, like, he's getting all excited because of all this stuff that this personal computer should be able to do for him. You know, he can't wait to get started, you know, and, you know, they should be able to talk to you like a regular person should be able to talk to you when they load, but she can't. And all she can do is say, gee. So now he's got a defective Persicom. So, you know, he's like, oh my God. He's like, is she broken? Like, should I, like, press the button again? Like, he doesn't know what to do. So, you know, he goes back to his neighbor, and the neighbor's sitting there, like, spreading her legs open, like, that's a weird place for the button to be. And da 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 da, you know, and Hideki's like, would you stop staring at my Persicom's, you know, place, you know, and just help me, you know, and the neighbor has his Persicom do, like, a check of her OS, which she does not have.
Ah, you know, yeah.
OS had been swiped clean. So, the neighbor gives him this number of this guy named Kokobunji, who is like this custom Persicom maker. So, if anyone would know what to do, this Kokobunji guy would.
Okay.
So, you know, so Hideki goes to meet this guy. You know, hopefully can help him, you know, learn about this Persicom, you know, and he gets to this big elaborate mansion, and he's like, wow, he's like, this guy's like rich. He's like, I don't know if I want to go in there with this, you know, defective Persicom or whatever, you know, but he does, and Hideki is like swarmed by all these really hot made Persicoms with like leather on and like stiletto heels with the
dominatrix type,
more or less. Okay. And there's like 15 of them in the hallway. You know, and Kokobunji comes down, and he's this 12-year-old kid. And he's 12 years old, you know. And so Hideki's like, wow, he must really know his shit about Persicoms, you know. And Hideki's getting all hot and bothered by all these other Persicoms, you know. And Kokobunji's taking a look at Chi, you know. And he's like, well, she doesn't have an OS, but she shouldn't be operating if she doesn't have an OS. Like, I don't understand what the deal is, you know. You know, he's like, well, I don't know what to do. And it's like, well, unless you want to go and buy new software, which, you know, is totally against, you know, Hideki because he's broke.
Right.
So he's like, well, he's like, you could try to find some freeware or something off the internet, you know. And he's like, I might have to do that because he doesn't have any money, you know. But as they're leaving, you know, Kokobunji's like, oh, well, I'll give you my cell phone number so that you can contact me. So he's like, oh. So, you know, Hideki goes to write it down, and all of a sudden you see Chi begin to process. So she had learning software installed in her so she can learn.
Uh-huh.
So Kokobunji says, well, if you don't want to pay for software, you're just going to have to teach her yourself. You know, and he's kind of looking like, what? Like, what do you mean, teacher? Like, teacher to do what? You know, teacher to speak, and teacher to just teach her. You know, so he's like, well, he's like, I don't have the money, so I guess I'm going to have to. So, you know, this whole series is pretty much, you know, that whole, you know, coming to know someone, you know, personality-wise. Now, mind you, she's a computer. But, you know, there's this big controversy within the series because there are some men who actually fall in love with their Persicons. And, you know...
It makes it easier to fuck a Persicon if you have feelings for it.
Well, yeah. But you see, would you come out when... And later on in the series, you meet this one man who actually married his Persicon because he seriously falls in love with his Persicon.
Okay.
And actually, it... And one night, they were out, and it was raining, and he nearly got killed, and the Persicon pushed him out of the way.
Aww.
And she died.
Or aww. I should
say she got broken, because you have to have life in order to die. You know, but he was in love with her, you know, and he tells Hideki, he's like, you know, you have to be careful, because, you know, people do become attached to, you know, their Persicons. He's like, but mine, you know, she was special. She's like, she wasn't just some machine. She was a person to me, you know, and you have to figure that type of stuff out for yourself, you know. And Hideki's battling it because you see throughout the series, you know, you see him starting to get closer and closer to Chi. And you see Chi kind of getting closer and closer to Hideki, you know, because he's not, you know, he teaches her little things like, how, you know, what the rice, where the rice goes, and, you know, where the bed goes when they're not sleeping in it, you know, and, you know, and all that stuff. So he's teaching her like a baby.
Right.
In a sense. So, I mean, in one way, it could be kind of sick, the relationship, kind of. But, you know, you got to look at it from the perspective that, you know, he's cheap and, you know, he doesn't want to buy software.
And she's a robot.
Like, and she's a hot robot.
Right.
And she's soft and she feels like a woman, you know, and she speaks like one, you know. But outside of all of, you know, Hideki's confusion as to, you know, what she really is to him, you know, all of a sudden you start seeing in Chi, you know, she's speaking better now and she's starting to question things, you know, and she starts getting, I don't want to say like memories because, you know, since she didn't have an OS to begin with, in a sense, she couldn't have memory.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, you know, stuff gets stored in RAM.
Right. Well, see, I'm not that computer literate.
Yeah.
So you probably would understand that stuff better.
Mm-hmm.
She starts remembering, you know, and I'll say this, like she has the human characteristic, remembering things from the past, you know, and there's this dark Chi, that's how she's referenced in the manga,
uh-huh.
You know, who talks very sultry and very sexy, and she's like, you know, you can't let anyone touch you there, you know, we're special. After a while, you know, Kokubunji comes back and he's like, you know what, you might have a Chobits, you know, and, you know, Hideki's like, what's that? Is that like a super elite Persicon that like can do like a lot of like porno stuff or whatever? You know, like he has no clue.
The boy likes the porno.
You know, and Kokubunji pretty much is like, they're a very elite Persicon, and there were only two ever made because they were programmed to, you know, have their own sense of will, to do things on their own, to not just be, you know, programmed to do a certain thing, but to actually have life, in a sense. The program was so elaborate that it would be like they had their own will. But there was a little bit of a backfire with the program because when they fell in love, if that person, like, turned them down or could not, you know, reciprocate the love, they would, you know, they would experience depression to the point where they would shut themselves down. You know, so you see in this backstory that, you know, Chi had a sister and they looked exactly alike. And you find out that the manager from the apartment that Hideki lives in created these robots with her husband. And the sister to Chi, her name is Freya, she fell in love with the father. And the father had to turn her down because, you know, he was in love with his wife.
Right.
Badly in love with his wife. You know, and, you know, Freya gets so depressed. I mean, her functions begin to, like, slow down. And, you know, Chi takes it upon herself, you know, to absorb all of Freya's information and her, quote-unquote, soul into her.
Uh-huh.
You know, praying that, you know, the same thing would not happen to Chi. So the mother, Chitose, that's her name, the manager.
Uh-huh.
Cuts Chi down and puts all of her stuff on a disc, which is the disc that fell out.
Ah.
That Hideki picked her up, praying that, you know, the next person who came across Chi would fall in love with her and would reciprocate her feelings so that she would never have to, you know, deal with, you know, having to shut down another. Like, she thought these Chobits were like her children.
Gotcha.
You know, so she didn't want them to suffer any pain. So, you know, you get her side story going on. You've got Hideki's going on. I mean, everyone's kind of got their own little side story. And, I mean, they're all very involved and they're all intertwined with each other, which really hits the spot, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. It flips your switch.
It
presses your buttons.
It presses my buttons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, at one point, you know, Hideki is talking to this one guy. He's also called the manager because he works at a bakery that she works at.
Okay.
You know, the one who was in love with his Persicom.
Right.
You know, and, you know, he's talking to Hideki. And Hideki's like, but if you were married to her, then you did, you know, married acts with her, right? You know, and he's like, well, yeah. And he's like, but how'd you do it with the button down there? You know, and the manager's like, wait a minute, she's button is down there? You know, and like, there's a lot of comedy within this series, but there's a big core message also. You know, so I mean, it keeps you laughing, but it also makes you think about some things too. So this got a 10. This was one of the first series I got on DVD.
Uh-huh.
I loved it. And I'll probably actually watch it again after we're done with this.
And then send it to me. Because I hadn't even heard of it before.
Oh my god, well, you're totally missing out.
Yeah, evidently.
But I give it a 10 on the, oh my god, you need to go to your nearest Best Buy, because that's where you'll get it the cheapest. Best Buy.
Yeah, Best Buy does have the cheapest anime.
And go buy this series. I've never steered you wrong, or at least, you know, no one has told me I've steered them wrong yet.
No, you've been pretty spot on with the anime stuff, I gotta say.
So, just do it. And that's all I really have to say about that.
You heard the panda. Go and buy the Chobits.
Don't be a punk-ass bitch and go get Chobits. I think it's going to be one of my punchlines now. Don't be a punk-ass bitch.
Well, that's good, because you really needed a signature saying anyway.
Yeah, I
Magic's
did.
Magic's got hers, and Monkey's got his, and I've got mine. I think we found yours.
Yep, don't be a punk-ass biatch.
Yep, make sure you spell it that way from now on.
Biatch! All right.
Okay.
But that's all Pandalicious has for you guys today, so I'm passing the mic over to Ninja.
Thank you. I accept this mic on behalf of my agent and everybody at CAA. Wait, no, I'm not with CAA. I'm just kidding. This week, I have for you a new game that I've been playing. And when I say new, I mean I just took it out of the plastic, and I've got about 3 solid hours of gameplay in.
Right.
So far. It's a game that I mentioned a little bit about earlier on the website. You might have heard of it. It's called 99 Nights.
Right.
It's also known as N3. It was one of the trailers that we both kind of drooled over our keyboards after watching the E3 presentation for it. You remember the pretty
yes.
shiny people? Well, the game finally came out this week. Came out on Wednesday, and I had pre-ordered it and was able to actually pick it up right before EB closed on Wednesday night. So I've only been able to play for an hour yesterday and 2 hours today, which is why I was a little late with my show notes.
Right. That would make some sense then, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, just a little bit. Just
a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. But let me break it down to you, just what N3 is about, and I hope you like it. You like to hear it.
I like it already.
Here it goes. Once there was peace in the land of Varangarn. This peace was brought about by the power of the orb that created the earth. But somehow, this orb became shattered, and the world split in two. Dark and light. Goblin versus human. This is the lore that starts the game, 99 Nights. Now, I kind of said Varangarn wrong, because...
Varangarn.
Yeah, because... And this is my only pet peeve about the game, and I'm going to get it up out in front of everything else, because, again, it's my only pet peeve. But you know how games try to come up with interesting new naming schemes and things like that?
Yes.
You know, to create, like, a really interesting fantasy land?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why fantasy land has to come in the form of using multiple consonants in a word that don't need consonants as extras. Okay?
Right.
The land that this all takes place in is called Van Vangarn, okay? And it's spelled V-A-N-N-V-A-R-G-E-N-N.
Okay.
Why you need all those N's?
I don't think you do.
I don't think I know either. Okay, everything in this game, in its name, has a double consonant. Some have double consonants and multiple double vowels.
Yep.
And it just makes
Wow does that.
Ridiculously... Why am I not surprised? Makes it ridiculously complicated to explain to somebody what you're playing because you go like, okay, well, you got to take Infi and Asfar, and they'll go, what? How far do I have to take her? And you go, no. You have to take Infi, who's a character, and Asfar, that's a character, and they're going to say, I'm sorry, did you say that the character's name was Asfar? And you're going to have to say, yes. I mean, how can you sound badass when you're like, yeah, I was using my Asfar, and I got him up to level 6. And they're like, dude, you got a level 6 Asfar? Yeah, exactly.
I've got a level 6 Asfar.
I've got a level 6 Asfar and a level 4 Dwingvat. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Fucking cool, right?
That is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, so it's really hard for me to like, because I was trying to describe to one of my friends on Xbox Live last night about the game, and I'm like, okay, well, you have to go in Varngarn, and, like, there's, like, this dude named Dwingvat, okay? But you gotta protect Ektvar using Infi and Asfar. And the guy's like, what? He goes, I'll think out fast. He goes, do they make, like, penicillin for that? Like, you need some penicillin for
it
your Asfar?
It sounds like a disease.
He's like,
no,
yeah.
I think he needs hemorrhoids.
Yeah.
The hemorrhoid ointment.
Yeah, I need preparation H for my Asfar.
Yep.
It's a little puffy. You know?
Ooh.
So, but that's...
That sounds nasty.
I know.
Right.
That's the only, like, negative, bad thing. Okay, well, maybe there's two, because the game is fucking loud. Okay? Like, I had to go in and turn the volume, the background music and the sound effects to the lowest level, which is like one dot, and I still had to get my ass up off the couch and turn the volume down on my speakers manually.
Damn.
Because it was so fucking loud that I was afraid my neighbors were going to call the cops on me for disturbing the peace.
Wow.
I mean,
that's loud.
It is loud. And it takes a second when I boot the game for it to find my settings from the hard drive and load them, so when it starts back at full volume.
Right, and then adjusts itself.
And then it adjusts itself, so I have to, like, start the game, start my Xbox, start the game, but leave my TV on a different input selector so it doesn't play through my speakers, and give it a minute before I switch it over. Otherwise, it's loud as hell.
I see.
It is.
Oh, wow, that sucks.
Yeah, and so I'm like, I've got to get, like, a surround sound system that I can control the volume with on a remote, because where my speakers are at right now, to manually turn the volume down, I actually have to crawl underneath my TV and behind it.
Because you're tiny.
And behind it, I know, aren't I little?
Yeah.
To find the Logitech speakers that I have hooked up that I jerry-rigged to be a surround sound system, and then turn the volume down actually on that speaker, and then crawl back from behind the TV to play my game. I'm getting damn tired of having to do that when I turn the game on, and then go back and do that again when I turn the game off, so I can put the volume back so that my TV will actually play at its normal volume. So we definitely need some help on the surround sound front, because I can't be doing this anymore. But
yeah, you can't. You're going to hurt yourself.
I am. I'm going to end up, like, getting my damn PVR box dropped on myself and getting hurt.
Yep.
And I ain't got no workman's comp.
Nope.
But anyway, I'm digressing. When you start the game, you can only play as Infi, who is the character that we most recognize from the trailers, because she's the chick with the gold wings on the back as part of her armor.
Ooh.
The one that's in red with the big red sword?
Yes.
Okay, so when you start the game, you can only be her. You have to unlock the other characters in order to play them, and the only way you do that is you have to fight through the story mode, and after you get to a certain point, you'll unlock another character that you can play through their story mode as well. There's 7 characters all together in the game, and one isn't even listed until I think you've unlocked it with everybody, and then there's some other criteria that you have to meet. I think you have to beat all of the levels with an A ranking and level up your character all the way to level 9, I think, in order to unlock the final character, and I don't know if it's a good character or a bad character, but out of the 7 that are available, only one is a goblin and fighting on the side of Dark. And that's,
really?
Yeah, and that's Dwingvat. And, yeah, Dwingvat is a goblin.
Wait, Dwingbat or Dingvat?
Dwingvat. See, this is what I hate. D-W-I-N-G-V-A-T-T.
Bag.
Vat. So it's Dwingvat.
Vat.
Vat. Right. Vince, not Bob. Dwingvat. It could have been a dingbat, but I'm sure that they went, no, we can't name him that. We'll call him Dwingvat instead.
Yes, because that sounds much more regal.
Yeah, that sounds like a perfect goblin name. But what's funny about Dwingvat is, like, if you want, when you watch the opening movie, you'll see that Dwingvat actually watches a warrior in red armor, which is Infi. I'm not giving anything away here because it's in the intro movie. But basically, Infi kills Dwingvat's older brother.
Of course.
Dwinga.
Dwinga. Dwinga. Dwinga. Dwinga.
I heard that at a frat party once. Oh, wait. No, that was Drinka. Never mind. Another podcast. Yeah.
That's another podcast.
And so Dwingvat, like, goes apeshit and is like, I'm going to avenge my brother. Ah, I'm going to kill all humans. But here's the tricky thing about that, is I haven't been able to play as Dwingvat yet, because, like I said, only 3 hours in, haven't beat it with Infi yet, so I don't have anybody else right. unlocked. But Dwingvat, unlike other goblins, his skin looks like human skin.
Really?
So he's not green.
He's not green.
No, he's not green. He's Caucasian. But he got hair.
He's white?
Like a Rasta. But
he's a white Rasta goblin?
Yeah, he's like a white Rasta goblin. Yep.
What?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Wrap your mind around that one.
I don't even wanna.
Yeah, but he fights with like this dual curved blade thing. So I'm curious to see actually what playing like him turns out to be, because, you know, he's seeking to avenge his brother's death, so eventually, when you get to him and you play through as him, the final boss, I guess, of the game would be Infi.
Okay.
Because, you know, you kill her and you've avenged your brother, now what the fuck? So, I don't know. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, but do you know that right away?
Oh, you can, well, when you read the booklet, it tells you that, you know, there was this warrior in red that killed your brother, and now you're out for, you know, revenge. But when you're reading another part of the book, it's like, yes, a certain female warrior that we all know, it's like, wink, wink. So, you know, and then it's like, will you be able to help Dwinga avenge his brother?
Ooh.
So, you know, at some point in time, you're going to have to fight Infi with Dwingvat to avenge Dwinga. All right,
Dwinga,
so you're with...
Dwinga. Sorry. Yeah, I get it.
It's okay.
We got some avenging to do.
Yeah, yeah. So
if you so choose to do it.
As far as the characters go that you can unlock, they are Mifi, Tyru, Claren, and Dwingvat, and Asfar.
Now, Asfar!
Yes, Asfar. Sorry. And I thought that I was pronouncing it wrong, but after you get through the first battle, there's a FMV, which, by the way, is gorgeous, okay, with Ektvar, who is the Maiden of Light. She's the keeper of the Orb of Light. Yeah. And she kind of has a thing for Asfar, and so she's talking to him and says the name, and this version is dubbed. It's not subbed. So, you do get to hear the character's name, and she says Asfar. So, if Ektvar says it's Asfar, then I'm with Ektvar and saying that it's Asfar.
Asfar, I'll get your ass not so puffy. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So, anyway, Asfar is Infi's older stepbrother. And
oh, jeez.
Yes. So they're not brother and sister, they're stepbrother and sister.
So they can get the nook-nook on?
Yeah, and it's real obvious that, like...
That they want to?
Yeah. Because Infi is totally, totally devoted to her stepbrother and looks up to him and will defend him with her life. And,
of course. And her coochie.
And Ektvar has a thing for Asfar, but Asfar doesn't have a thing for Ektvar, and Ektvar is kind of cute looking. So, if you're not going to get the hots for the Maiden of Light, you must already have the hots for somebody else.
Is it a boy?
No, Ektvar is a girl. Maiden of Light?
Oh. Yeah, but I thought you said if you don't have the hearts for the Maiden of Light, then you gotta dig somebody else.
Yes, so his stepsister, Infi.
Oh, ew.
Stepsister.
Okay. Oh, but still.
I know, isn't that nasty?
And family picnic and then going behind a tree and boning.
Okay, and like, and Infi's only 17. And
she's barely legal.
And Asfar is 19.
Oh.
Yeah, he's blonde. He's the dude with the blue spear and the wings on the back. So they both have wings on the back of their armor. But, so anyway. And then, Infi is pretty much your typical ingenue character. She's young, she's strong-willed, she's cute, but she's fragile in some unknown way to the player and blah, blah, blah. She's called the, Angel in Crimson Armor and has this kick-ass, huge red sword. Like, you, in reality, a chick that small could not wield this thing, because it's like a broadsword.
Oh.
I mean, it's huge. But she kicks a lot of ass. And then, like I said, Asfar wields this blue sphere thing, and both of them are members of the Temple Knights, and they're an order sworn to protect the Orb of Light, the Maiden of Light, and all that's good and pure, and the land, blah, 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 and, another character in there is called Mifey, like I said. And Mifey basically, like, okay, you've played Soul Calibur, right?
I played some,
okay,
yes.
So you know the version of Siegfried where he's, like, half nightmare, so he's got, like, his leg is all, like, rotted.
Deformy.
Yeah, and deformed and, like, curves up around his waist, and then he's got his, like, broadsword, and his hair's really long, and he's all butch-looking.
Right.
Okay. Well, picture that with brunette hair instead of blonde, and that's Mifey.
Oh.
Okay, but he wields a double-sided broadsword thingy. So throw a little Darth Maul on that.
Okay.
And you got it. And basically, Mifey used to be a Temple Knight, but then it's like, the politics is bullshit, and left and became like a mercenary. So he's a good guy, but he could be a bad guy.
Uh-huh.
But for the most part, he's supposed to be a good guy.
Okay.
Okay. And then we've got a character called Tyuru, and that's spelled T-Y-U-R-R-U, and she's 12.
Okay.
And a sorceress. And okay. She carries around a weapon that looks like a key. It's kind of like a keyblade. I wonder where they got that idea. Okay. So anyway, and she's like a progeny sorceress and all that bullshit and whatever. But what's cool about her is I was fighting a battle where I actually got to meet her, and, like, for a while she fought beside me. She, like, uses water sprite attacks. So whenever she attacks, like, these pools of water just come out of nowhere, and they look like real water, and they fall like real water, and it, like, looks like real water, and it's, like, pretty. It's so pretty.
Actually, your face would probably be real water.
Yes, and it looks so pretty that you forget to fight, and you end up dying because you're looking at the pretty water shooting out of the 12-year-old girl.
Wait, out of her?
Well, it comes out of the staff thing, but it, like, flows up in a bubble sometimes and, like, washes over the dudes that you're fighting. So if you're standing nearby, everybody gets wet. And you're just like, oh, pretty water, look like a water. And then you're like, oh, shit, somebody's hitting me.
Uh-huh.
So I should block. And then there's Claren, who is your typical man of the cloth with a, you know, checkered past that's now walking the path to redemption. So he's fighting in the name of the Lord.
Oh, that sounds like Rurouni Kenshin.
Exactly. You know, like, he almost killed a priest, and so the priest, like, reformed him, and so now he's trying to repent, and is only fighting for good, and he uses this big-ass mace with, like, the emblem of his church on it, and, yep. Puts down a serious, serious smack.
The priests in my game use maces, too.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about your game.
I know.
You've got to work on this addiction, Panda.
I know.
I mean, it's, you know, I'm very close to actually having one of those interventions that I wrote about because I'm worried about you.
Well, you might want to also try to jump in and save Magic because she came by the other day and I think she was pretty close to buying it herself after talking to me.
Well, you know, anybody would buy the damn game after talking to you. You're like a great Blizzard should freaking hire you. You're a pitch man for freaking Warcraft. I only have the damn demo because you told me about it. But then after seeing your problem, I'm like, I can't put that on. That's like crack. I can't be strung out on Warcraft.
Anyway.
So, anyway. Visually, this game is stunning. Like I said, the water effects are really cool. It's just... The characters, when you look at the FMVs, when they play, I mean, they're flawless. It's better than some of the stuff that I've actually seen the Square Enix people come out with. I mean, there's twinkling in people's eyes. There's actually some redness in the corner of their eyes, you know, like humans actually really have. Their emotions actually track pretty doggone well. When they walk with weight. So they really did work very hard. The people at Phantasm really did. Phantagram did this game. Worked really hard on this. But like I said, it's really loud, and the naming scheme kind of could have used a little revamp. Just a little one.
As far, it gets the poop out.
I love that. Excuse me. Anyway, now a lot of people have been comparing this game to the Dynasty Warriors series, and first, I'm a huge Dynasty Warriors freak. I have Dynasty Warriors, Warriors 2, 3, 4, and Samurai Warriors, so I know a little bit about both systems, and I can honestly say that I understand why they're making that comparison, because both games do have some similarity as far as the gameplay elements. Like, basically, Dynasty Warriors layout, for anybody who hasn't played it, is basically you pick story mode and you pick a battle. Usually you have one or two to start from that you can pick, and you set up your guards. You get told who you have to defeat in order to win the battle, and then you basically set out with your supporting captains and guards to go after all of the enemy captains, guards, and generals. And once you kill the general on the field, you pretty much
win,
okay? And the same can be said for N3, because pretty much you start the game, you can only pick one battle, so you pretty much have a linear path. Once you defeat or win a battle, you can replay it if you want to try and get a better score on it, but ultimately you just have one path that you can go on. You do have supporting captains, and you are basically given a specific character on the enemy side that you have to defeat in order to win the battle. So in that basic mechanic, they are the same. But that's pretty much where the similarities end. N3 is a one-player game only.
Really?
Yeah, that kind of surprised me. Not only is it one player, but it does not have an online component.
So you can't play it?
No, online. You can't play against your friends or anything like that.
Now, that would have been fun.
Yeah, it would have, to be able to see, you know, what level you could get your ass far up to and see if my ass far is greater than your ass far. But no, you can't do that.
Yours would totally win.
Well, anyway. I don't know. I've been getting my ass far handed to me. But I've only been playing for a small period of time. But,
right.
Whereas the Dynasty Warrior games, as you know, have a co-op play. So you can pick two generals on the same team and, you know, go after everybody together. And I believe on the Dynasty Warriors tactics, there are some online component parts to it, but I could be wrong. But That's pretty much the end of the similarities there, because with this game, with N3, the AI is much different. The computer AI is much different than Dynasty Warriors. For instance, you're engaging a horde, which as soon as you come into their field of battle, they charge at you. They don't just stand there and wait for you to like get right up on them. They come after you as soon as you're pretty much in their line of sight. Okay? And while you're sitting there slashing away at like 6, 7, or 15 of them at a time, because your blade does hit quite the swath of enemies, enemies come up from behind, and they literally sneak up on you, like they crouch and they kind of move in slow, so you can't really see
them. So wait, they come at you from the front and in the rear?
Yes, and they try to get some hits in on you, and I'm talking multiple at a time. So it's not like in Dynasty Warriors, you know how you run up to a path of guys, and then you'll engage one, and the rest of the guys will just stand there and wait till you've killed him before they'll make a poke at you?
Not even, and while they come at you.
Oh, I'm talking about Dynasty Warriors.
Oh.
Okay, that's what happens in Dynasty Warriors. In N3, they just all come at you. You can't leave anybody alive, because if you do, they will chase you for a period of time. So, like, if you're making, like me, a health points run, because you're about to die, and so you're looking for a vase to refill your life, you need to find one that's a little bit far away, because enemies will follow you up to a point and they will keep trying to attack you even while you're making an HP run. So that kind of just sucks a little bit, like if you don't know what you're doing. And if you run far enough away that they don't want to physically chase you anymore, they can change their player type.
Weapon?
Yes. And so they'll go from a standard hand-to-hand combat weapon to archers, and they will continue to fire at you.
Dude, that sounds like fun.
Yes, it is, because you really have to like, oh shit, no, I gotta find HP. All right, now you fuckers are going down. And then as soon as you get into the range where their arrows, you know, will fire over you and not at you, they switch back to their hand-to-hand combat, and then you can kill them.
Now, then you kick them punk bitches out.
Yes, and what's really nice is that you can kick their ass so much that you can get a combo kill of up to, I think the highest one that I did so far was 2,400 in a swath. That's how many enemies you can have trying to kick your ass at a time in a group with no slowdown. I have not had any slowdown while in battle yet while playing this game.
Wow.
The other thing that you can do is when you choose your guards, you actually choose what type of guards you want to have flanking you on the left side and on the right side. So your choices are infantry, heavy infantry, pikemen, and archers. So you can have heavy infantry guys on the right and archers on the left. Now, once you make this choice, you're stuck with that throughout the battle. You can't change it mid-battle. So
right.
You really need to decide, okay, well, I know that I'm stepping up in battle, so I should probably have both of my flanks be heavy infantry, because I'm going to need some guys that can do some more damage. Whereas if you know you're just going for some quick in-and-out
work, you need more tanks and not a lot DPS.
Yes, exactly. And then what you can do is you can actually issue orders individually to the flanks, so you can have your right flank act as backup for you and have your left flank go after the main target, or you can issue commands to both sides that are flanking you using the D-pad, so you can say, okay, no, I'm gonna go and deal with some grunts, you guys go after the main target and take the main brunt of the hits for me, and then I'll come in and play cleanup later. Or, holy shit, I'm getting my ass beat. Y'all come over here and help me the fuck out. Which is nice, because you don't have that ability in Dynasty Warriors, as far as any of the games that I've played. So it's really nice to be able to, you know, tell you guys to come and rescue me, as opposed to them just go out and, like, get killed while you're in the battle. Pretty much in the Dynasty Warriors game, you set up in the beginning if you want your guards, which at most you get 8, to either defend you or be able to attack or just to do their own thing. And they can only do their own thing once they get up to a certain level. Here, from the get-go, you have control of your flank. And you end up having about 50 officers and some supporting officers on the screen at a time. So I really, really like that. And I wish that we could do stuff like that in Dynasty Warriors. Do you like starting levels over and over again because you died from the beginning?
No.
Because if you do, N3 is for you. Because that's what happens. You get one shot at the battle. And if you fuck up, well, you try it again. all the way from the beginning, fuckhead.
Oh, that sucks monkey balls.
Yeah, yeah.
Not so, monkey do, no, monkey balls.
Yeah, not monkey do, because we like monkey do. Monkey balls, different story. The game is not forgiving of your suckitude. You either have to know what you're doing.
Either you suck or you rock.
Exactly. And sometimes you rock because
you just
suck,
make
but,
it.
Yeah.
Or you're okay. You're just good enough to make it.
But maybe
never brother out.
Stop.
Sorry.
I'm losing my train of thought. Okay, and those trains don't come by the station that often. Yeah. So anyway, the question is, do you buy it? And
yes.
I say yes. If you like Dynasty Warriors or games like Dynasty Warriors and you have an Xbox 360, you should absolutely buy N3. Cause
hey, and if you like Step Brothers and Step Sisters wanting to get it on, you might want to check this game out too, since it's kind of got that going on.
Yeah, it's there.
If that pushes your
look,
button.
I played the game for 3 hours and I could sense the tension, okay? So I'm just saying.
Man, I'm already sensing the tension. I haven't even seen them yet.
Okay. I don't think that N3 is a reason to go out and buy an Xbox 360 by itself. Like, if you were thinking about getting one anyway and picking up another game in addition to the system, then yeah, go ahead and do yourself a favor. Pick up that Xbox 360 and that game you were going to get. But also pick this one up, too, because I don't think that you'll be disappointed. It's a great-looking game. It has some really nice game mechanics. It will definitely make you have to think. It's not just mindless, you know, hack and slash, which you can kind of get away with in Dynasty Warriors. I mean, pretty much, you can start any battle in Dynasty Warriors on any difficulty level other than very difficult, and pretty much just point your player character in direction and use the charge attack and regular attack and win. You don't really have to think to beat it. But this one is going to require you to actually use some strategy in order to...
Ooh, I like strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you like strategy. So,
I do.
But if you don't have an Xbox 360, don't just buy an Xbox 360 to play this game. Because you might be a little disappointed. Because it's not all that in a bag of chips. But it is a nice bag of chips. It's not going to, like, leave oily residue on your fingers.
Is it like Cool Ranch Doritos?
It's like nacho cheesier Doritos.
Oh,
it's like
I like
free family bag. Of nacho cheesier Doritos.
Free family bag.
Yeah, free family bag of nacho cheesy Doritos.
Okay.
You know, that's what it's like. And if you don't like Dynasty Warriors at all, or games like it, don't even look at it then. Because you'll be like, oh, it's just another Dynasty Warriors thing, before you get to the part where it gets really involved, and you'll miss out.
You'll let that opportunity pass you by.
Yes, yes. But do be prepared when you're playing this game to have to, like, save your game and give it up to anybody around you, because anybody around you who sees this game that plays games is going to want to play it. And it is, like I said, one player, so you can't just give them a control and be like, all right, bitch, tag along. You're just going to, you got to surrender up your stick. And not everybody wants to surrender up their stick.
I don't.
Some people are very possessive about their stick.
I am.
And don't like to share their stick, so
I don't like
to share.
You
know, what are you going to do? Like, cause you don't know what people got, what kind of germs or diseases that they have, and then they get that stuff.
That's
all
why
on
I
stick.
Use Purell.
Yes, Pandalicious uses Purell every day, all day, to stay healthy and clean. Yes, that's Purell, keeping you smelling like a hospital since 2001. But anyway, that's all that I have. The only question that we had on the website we actually solved a week ago when like. Pandalicious was talking about earlier when we launched the glossary of terms on the website. So you can actually go to the website and click on glossary and look at all of the terms that we have there. And when you mouse over one, you can see the definition. And that website that you can see this glossary on is www.electricsisterhood.com. If you got a question or a comment or you want to suggest a game to us to review, or anything like that, you can either contact us through the website by clicking on the Hit Us Up link and filling out the form, or you can give us a call on our toll-free number, which is 1-888-333-8985. It's a free call for you.
It's free love for us.
And we do enjoy the free love. If your
yes.
comment or question is really good, or even suggestion, we'll probably either post it on the website or make mention of it right here on this podcast. You could become famous.
Yeah.
Or at least like known us. To people unknown to you.
You could have your own, like, shrine in somebody's, like, closet for all we know.
I know. And I'll tell you what, I like it when people build shrines to me. That's always so cool.
I don't, because they usually use garbage.
See, the people that build shrines to me usually use Hello Kitty things. And that's just cool.
Well, you're lucky.
I like anyway. Anyway, do hit us up on the website. Comment on our posts. Enter our sweepstakes because things are going to get thick. I'm going to say this podcast is toast.
I think it's toast, too.
What are you going to do with your toast?
I'm going to put the rest of my Fiesta bowl from Taco Bell on it and just munch on it like a sandwich.
Ooh, kind of like a tostada? Tostada. Make jokes.
What about you?
I think I'm going to put cream cheese on my toast.
But isn't that for bagels?
You can do it with toast, too. Have you never put cream cheese on toast?
No.
Okay, you cook your toast a little extra, so it's like dark brown, not burnt, but dark brown. Uh-huh. And then you put cream cheese on it, so the cream cheese on the bottom melts a little bit. Oh, that's just the bomb! You gotta try that, but I'm putting cream cheese on my toast.
All right, then. You do that, and I'm gonna.
As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out.
And we're out.